I appreciate these two young little girls, and I know people hear this on the internet in other countries, and they don't realize, but these are young little girls. They love the Lord, and even in their youth, they want to honor Him. I did not honor Him till I was 34 years old, but I wish I had done like they're doing. The Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 1. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of believer, word and deed. I appreciate these two young girls, and let them share on their heart. I share whatever's on their heart with us this morning.
Amazing grace, yeah. How sweet the sound that saved,
yes,
a wretch
like me. Song when they said no less days. I appreciate them singing Amazing Grace, and I had no idea, I'm about down with a box of rocks anyway, that what they would sing and what they would say would go along with what the Lord put on my heart this morning. I know this is Easter Sunday, and a lot of people think about Easter a lot of different ways, and I don't really have an axe to grind this morning. When I think about Easter, I think about the fact not only that He died for me, but I think about the fact that He got up for me.
Amen.
And even though I guess in the eyes of the world, and maybe even in the eyes of Satan, He might look and think that He failed in His mission, but there wasn't no missing the fact that He was victorious when He got up.
Amen.
I mean, I wasn't there that day, and you wasn't either. And we all think, boy, I wish we'd been there that day. And it's good that He wasn't crucified in our day. Because if He was crucified in our day, I can imagine the crowd out there, and they're all out there texting or maybe taking a selfie, you know what I mean? Or maybe they've got one of them tablet things, you know, and maybe they're surfing on the web or something like that. Because, I mean, this thing, it wasn't done in the corner. It was done out publicly. He was publicly put to an open shame. And it's a good thing He wasn't done in our day. I know what I'm speaking about. I mean, we all drove over this morning in nice vehicles. And you might not consider your vehicle nice, but if we rode over in an old covered wagon and we got all dusty in our journey from home to here, and we really put some thought to how much we love the Lord and how much we put ourselves at a loss just to be here, like they did on days gone by. I mean, our day and time, things are different. Things have changed.
Amen.
We don't have a lot of people here this morning. Other churches, they're packing out. And I'll be honest with you, if somebody in there was preaching the Word of God, they'd be as lean as we are. It might be quiet, but I'm telling you the truth. Now, that King James Bible, buddy, it don't have any blanks in it. It's God's Word. It's anointed of God. It's as eternal as God is. Jesus said heaven and earth would pass away, but my Word would not pass away. It's as eternal as God is. God settled it in the heavens, commanded to 1,000 generations. He told us to preach that Word, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, what thus saith the Word of God. You take that Bible, and some of these, I guess they call them mega churches, or maybe busting out the same churches. I've done been here. I've done seen this. You preach that Bible in there, and there'd be a bunch pack of bags and they're gone. Now, I appreciate y'all being here this morning. And I'll tell you why I do. Because y'all know why you're here. You know what that Bible says. You know what Jesus done. That's why you love Him so. Amen. But I want to deliver what God's put on my heart this morning. I want to get that off my chest this morning. But a lot of people think about Easter in different ways. My pastor one time got a little mad on the Easter service. Got a little bit in the flesh. It happens. It happens to me. I've done it. All have done it. But he got up there and he got mad. He said, "Oh, by the way, Happy New Year." It's kind of unseasoned, but he was still telling the truth. See, to some people, Easter's the only time they come. So he said, "Oh, why are you here? Happy New Year." And, you know, that's not really right to do that, but he wasn't necessarily wrong when he done that. Just trying to sling a thought out there. But good to have everybody here. I was going to preach an Easter message this morning, and I done told y'all I'm just a messenger boy. And I can't deny that. I just deliver whatever God gives me. But I was going to use Acts chapter number 1, and I'm going to preach out of Psalm chapter 69. So you go ahead and turn to Psalm chapter 69. But I'll tell you what I had on my heart this morning, Acts chapter number 1, where Luke, which wrote Acts, verse number 3, Luke mentioned, well, verse 2, talked about, well, I might as well read all three of them. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day which He was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost, He had given commandment unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking other things pertaining to the kingdom of God." I was going to use that word infallible, and I was going to hammer on that word a little bit, but I just want to throw this out here this morning. That's a very significant Bible word. It means exempt from error. It means absolutely trustworthy, true, sure, and certain. That's what I was going to preach on this morning. But God being bigger than me and more excellent than I am led me to go to Psalm 69. And we'll go to Psalm chapter number 69, and we'll take our text from verses 19 through 26. God's Word says, Psalm 69, verse 19 through 26, "Thou hast known my reproach, and my shame, and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart. I am full of heaviness, and I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continue to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate. Let none dwell in their tents, for they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to grief of those whom thou hast wounded. And I'm going to take verse 20 for a text this morning, and I want to title this message, Adding to His Shame. Pray with me this morning and bear with me in this message. It's urgent that I deliver this, what God's put on my heart. Father, we thank You. And Lord, through lips of clay, Lord, we yield our mouth, Lord, to Thee to speak this morning. And I pray, dear Father, You'd preach to me and through me. I'm not able, Lord, to say the things, Lord, that You've put in my heart. But I do pray, dear Father, somehow, Lord, You'll help them to proceed forth as from God and not from me. And Father, I pray, dear Father, this morning that You'll help me to honor Your Son. Help me this morning, I pray, with the Word of God, Lord, to open our eyes and eyes of our understanding that our hearts may be challenged. Lord, dear Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would visit us from on high. And I pray You'll take us to that day, Lord, when You gave Your life a ransom. Bring to our remembrance, Lord, things that many have long forgot. Some dare not even go there because they have no interest at all in the love of God or the death of His Son or being saved or anything else. They have no desire in any counsel of God at all. And Lord, whatever You do this morning, we'll thank You and praise You. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This verse here, it's a Messiah chapter, Psalms 22, Psalm 69, other places also. But this verse mentions, in verse number 20, it mentions about him having a broken heart. And his heart was broken because he put his heart into redeeming mankind. He put himself at a loss, so to speak, for our gain. And you would think that in that crowd that had gathered that day upon this event, and there were many, that someone in that crowd could have had some regard, some pity, some comfort of word or deed, something that could have been attributed to his grief as he's given his life for all of mankind. I mean, buddy, they're casting accusations in his teeth. They're making obscene gestures. Now, we'll comment on them here in a minute. But you know, we might have come to church this morning half-hearted. We might have sung this morning half-hearted. We might have prayed this morning half-hearted. We might worship even today half-hearted, but he didn't.
Right.
He put his heart into it.
Yes.
I mean, he literally took his heart out and said, I'm giving it to you. And they just stomped it, squashed it. They just, no regard at all. Now, like I said, I wasn't there. And I can only speculate, I can only by the Bible have some glimpse of Calvary to even consider a look at. But with the Bible as my helper and the Holy Spirit to illuminate what the Bible says, on that hill Golgotha, the place of the skull, divine blood was poured out for the sin of all the world. The payment had to be paid. The wages of sin demanding for payment for sin. And Jesus gave Himself into the hands of sinful men. And they evil and spitefully treated Him and spit upon Him and beat Him and mocked Him and made fun of Him. And He allowed it. And no one cared. I don't think many do today. But for lack of better words, it broke his heart. It broke his heart. And I've got something to say about his broken heart. Be a little bit of a lengthy message. We're not having service tonight, so I'll give you a full course meal this morning. He put all his heart into it. And we're to put all our heart into praising Him.
Amen.
You know, them two little angels sung up there just a minute ago. We got no less days to sing His praise. You know, I don't know about you. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one, Sophie. But all my heart, I've had it in the back of my mind, one day I'm going to do something for the glory of God. You know why I haven't done it yet? Because see, something else gets in front of it. And I keep moving it back. One reason I can't never get nothing done, I've got too many things to do, and something precedes the other, and it don't get very much done. But if you're ever going to do anything for God, you're going to have to get all that other stuff out of the way. And before you're ever going to do anything for God, Brother Eddie, I'm going to one day, I'm going to sing for God. Brother Eddie, one day, I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to be a preacher. What's wrong with today?
Amen.
You see, for some reason that I guess we thought we've got eternity on our side as far as getting things done, but I'm deader than I was age in this life. 80 by strength, 80. I got less days on my calendar than I had when I got saved as far as earthly living goes. But I'm a procrastinator. My wife calls me that, rightly so, because I am. And when I do make up my mind to do something, I do it. But the Bible says to do it with all our heart, with all our strength. And what we need to do it while it's day, for the night comes, no man can work. I mean, if God can help us, Brother Melvin, the fields are already white to harvest, but the labors are few. And what little we do, we need to step up with heart. There's not much time left.
Yeah.
If he just said, hey, Brother Eddie, I'm going to play that piano, and I'm going to play it for the glory of God, I'd come over and I'd say, God bless you. You've done it for the glory of God. Them two little girls, if they come up here, Brother Eddie, each time we come, we want to at least sing one song for the glory of God. I say, God bless you and the more. Hallelujah for the glory of God. Maybe just come over here, Brother Eddie. If you don't mind, just like to raise my hand to heaven and say, glory to God. If you just want to do it for the glory of God, do it by all means and do it while you can. Amen. We might be half-hearted. I know we're in the dry. They didn't do a whole lot in the grain. I'll tell you one thing. Let's not get flatlined. Let's get a little bump every now and then. I went there to see Donnie out there at the hospital this week. And I looked over there and me and him, we were talking about the Lord. And every now and then, step up a little bit. I said, Donnie, we need to talk more about the Lord. You're looking good over here. I said, there'll be nurses back here in a minute. That thing went to get with it. It had a few valleys in there when I first came in there. But listen, he put his whole heart into redeeming mankind. The Bible mentioned that he looked for some to take pity. He looked for some. He'd think in that crowd that surely to God someone could understand what was going on. It wasn't like a malefactor being put to death. I mean, if it could be true, I believe one of those thieves may have actually realized what was really going on. Now he cast the same accusation in his teeth. They said, if thou be the Christ, save us and thyself. I mean, they just selfish like you and me. Just want to go to heaven or whatever. Cause Jesus, if you got to cut your arm off, just whatever. I mean, just whatever. I mean, just get me there. But one of them, he called him Lord. You know what, Brother Melvin, when he called him Lord, I believe he saw something different in this man. I believe everything looked the same until he got to paying attention. And I believe he realized this man had been beaten more than they had. This man had been mistreated in so many ways more than they had. He saw something different and he said, Lord. He said, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And what was left of Jesus, Brother Hired, and it wasn't much, because his vestes was marred more than any man. The Bible said the Lord turned. And he said, today you'll be of me, buddy. Today you and I, we're going home. We're going to go sup at the king's table. You're going to put your feet under my table from this day on. You're coming with me. This ain't the end. This is just the end of here, not the end forever. It's just the end of here now. I'm telling you, it's beginning for you this day, amen. I'm telling you, hallelujah. I'll tell you a little joy. On that cross, beaten beyond recognition, he had a little bit of joy. And I'm going to comment on joy. I just got to plow three or four rows and I'll throw some joy out here. He looked for some to have pity. But no one had pity for the beating, the bruising, and the bleeding that he endured. None pleaded for his suffering to be eased. No man had any regard to this beating. Psalm chapter 22, verse 7 says that they laughed him to scorn. They said, "Hey Jesus, what was that you said about destroying this temple? Yeah. 3 days, something about raising up again." I mean, they're being sarcastic, Carolyn. And they're throwing these accusations at him like, "Now you're down to our level. What about now, big boy?" While he's up there, they're casting accusations at him. Now, not only did they laugh him to scorn as they're being sacrilegious and sarcastic, but the Bible says they shoot out the lip and they shake the head. They said, "Too bad, buddy. Too bad. Better you and me. He's up there dying for him, Brother Vernon. Pouring out his soul. They don't even care." Now, in our day and time, I mean, CNN and Fox News would be there and they'd be misconstruing. But they'd be saying things he didn't say. They'd be taking his word and somehow turning them around, making them political and all that. I mean, I'm glad it wasn't in our day, Brother Melvin. I'm glad it was in the day it was in. There wasn't no cell phone ringing. Brother Vernon's heart, he's back there while his cell phone went off. I could tell it startled him. He went back there and he ended up turning his phone off. But look, there was no cell phones ringing. There was no interruptions. I mean, it's just still on Golgotha's hill. And they're watching God die. And they don't even realize, Brother James, what they're taking in. But they're seeing something that's never been seen before. It's been told, but it's never been seen before. They've heard preachers preach about it. They've heard Jesus talk about it. Now they're seeing it. And for lack of better words, even seeing, they still ain't believing it. They still don't get it, Margaret. They're watching God's Son die. He's dying there, shameful, painful, suffering death. They shoot out their lip. Too bad. They shake her head, Carolyn. "Hey, buddy, I'm doing pretty good. Looks like I'm doing pretty good, Jesus. I'm doing pretty good without you." Someone said a farmer preacher tried to reach him for God, and sometimes people are hard to reach. This preacher struggling financially, and this farmer, he's pretty successful financially. This farmer come to this preacher and he said, "Did I tell you how good my crop's done this year?" He said, "I balanced my books. And he said, I made this much money." The preacher, he said, "Buddy, God don't balance his books in October. And what seems like success today, what seems like prosperity. I was listening to a guy preach this morning. He's talking about this guy who lived in his house. And he literally starved to death. I mean, he did. He starved himself to death. And they thought that he'd got this house, acquired it setter's rights or something like that. You know, that he just squatter's rights or whatever, but they found out he actually bought the house and paid for it. But anyway, he wore the same clothes every day, Sophie. Never seen him, he didn't have rags on. Well, after he died and he found out that he was dead in this house, neighbors hadn't seen him. They said, you need to go there and check on him. And they went there and the fellow had literally starved to death. The city condemned the house and they decided he was going to tear it down. And Keith, when they tore the roof off, the walls was full of a different kind of insulation. And it was full of bonds and money. I mean, it was like $10 million or something like that. He could have afforded anything. And he starved to death. And they didn't even know what to do with all this wealth. I mean, there was so much wealth, they didn't know what to do with all of it. But you know what? If a man gained the whole world, lost his soul, it'd be kind of in that comparison. You'd be like starving yourself to death when you could have come and supped at the king's table. Could have pulled up a plate and had the best there was to eat. I mean, steak and taters, amen. But they're making fun of Jesus. Hey, Jesus! Thou that opened the eyes of the blind. Thou that healed the lame and the leper. How's it going up there? He's up there suffering, dying. Psalms 22 said they shake the head at him. They're in denial. Verse 8 said, they throw this at him. He trusted on the Lord. Let Him deliver him. They said, he put all his stock in God. Let God help him. We're not going to help him. We're not going to give him anything to ease his pain. Let him die. I'm going somewhere. It's just going to take me a minute to get there. You know, when the Bible says, be still, know that I'm God, that's what I'm trying to do right here. I could throw a bunch of stuff at you right now. We could leave and say, boy, we've had church, ain't we? But I'll promise you this, everything I'm giving you this morning, it didn't come from a weighty weight. I'll promise you that. I remember when I wrote some of this stuff down in the cafeteria after where I worked at, I remember tears streaking down my cheeks when I thought, Lord, it ought not been so. He looked for some comforters. I mean, here he is suffering. Surely someone could have some pity. Surely someone could have some regard to the fact his heart is broke. He looked for comforters. But he found none. Brother Eddie, if I'd been there, you better be glad you wasn't there. They gave him a crown of thorns for comfort. They gave him stripes upon his back for comfort. They smote him upon the cheeks for comfort. They drove nails into his hands and feet for comfort. They persecuted him whom God had smitten. Verse 26. Did you notice that verse 26? They persecuted him. I want you to know who's doing the smiting. Even though men done it, God put it in their heart to do it. Now, I'll prove it. Isaiah 53. If you want to turn there, you can. If you want to hear me read it, just hold on a minute. Isaiah 53, verse number 4. Should have put my bookmark in. I went past it twice. Listen to this. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. It pleased God to bruise him and to put him to grief. Verse 10 of Isaiah 53. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. You know, my pastor read that one night. He said, I don't understand that. Why it would please God to bruise Jesus? And I raised my hand. And I said, Brother Rick, I think I understand that. He said, by all means, tell us. I said, God was satisfied with what He saw. And He was pleased with it. And you know, the Bible says that He said, there remaineth no more sacrifice. That's mentioned in Hebrews. God was pleased with the sacrifice of the Lamb. He was satisfied with what He saw. God laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Verse number 6 says, no comfort for him, no care for his suffering, no one coming to rescue him from his travail. Now, here's it. There's only one joy. There's only one joy offered for his suffering, for his shame, for all of the things that he endured. There's only one joy. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. He endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Why would he have any joy? Well, the Bible says in Luke chapter number 15, verse number 7, He said, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Yeah. Now, He's in heaven. They saw Him ascend up into heaven. He's up there. He said, there's joy in heaven. There was joy, Linda. April 27th, 1988, when an old sinner named Eddie Wade said, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry I've lived such a wicked, simple life. Someone told me You love me. Somebody told me if I'd ask You, You'd forgive me and You'd save me. And I said, the best way I know how, right here, right now, I'm asking You to save me. And there's some joy in that. Amen. Now listen, I'm going somewhere. I've just got a couple more things to say, but I want you to know there was joy in the fact that He said, go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. You see, if you go through all what Jesus went through, nobody cared. You go through all that, nobody gets saved. It was a waste. He said, he's seen Eddie Wade, Mom. He said, it's worth it. It's worth it just so Eddie Wade could get saved. When you got saved, He said, it was worth it. It was worth it. So you could be saved, so I could be saved. Jesus said, it wasn't in vain. He said, it was worth it. It was worth it. But you see, when somebody dies lost, there's no joy in that. God has no pleasure in death of the wicked. Somebody dies lost. You know what He said, Sophie? He said, I suffered so they could be saved. Amen. I gave my life so they could live. And when somebody dies lost, there's no joy in that. When somebody steps out of the aisle, comes down here and says, hey, would Jesus say someone like me? I want you to know there's joy in heaven. Over one sinner, there repents. There's joy in that. Jesus went on to say in Luke chapter 15 verse 10, He said there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over 25 sinners that repent. No. Over one. Now I know down here we don't do that. But up there in heaven, one sinner that repents. Now, I don't know if that's Jesus. I know it ain't the angels because it said it's in the presence of the angels. It may be. Hey, I'm not that literate. I'm not that smart. But the Bible said the angels desire to look into what we have in Christ. They don't understand what it's like to be lost. They don't understand what it's like to be redeemed. They can't understand salvation at all. They've never been like you and I. They've been in the presence of God. They're created beings. And I also was created in my mother's womb. All my members were numbered. And the day I was formed in my mother's womb, even though the doctors can't understand the heartbeat, God gave me one. And it's been beating now for 60 years. But I'll tell you one thing. There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God.
Amen.
Over one.
Amen.
I remember we had a revival one year. We got Brother Willard Bryant to preach, and Gordon's girlfriend, she come running up at this altar, and what she said was kind of funny at the time, but it wasn't a bit funny with her. She asked her boyfriend, she said, could you hear my heart beating? You see, God does that. It's not like Willard, and I guess Brother Vernon admits the same thing. I'm going to admit it's not like we're that anointed of God to do anything. I mean, we're miserable instruments for God to use. And the Bible says, not many mighty, not many noble. God's chosen foolish things of the world confound the mighty. It's not like Willard Bryant is God's man or anything. I mean, he's just a vessel that God spoke through that night and penetrated all of the enemy's efforts and somehow got to the heart of his girlfriend. And she said, could you not hear my heartbeat?
Amen.
She got up here at this altar. And I mean, boy, I like it on that fashion. I like it when you can't keep them coming. I mean, she had to get to that altar. Amen. I've seen them jump over pews and run under them. I've seen them going to God. They can't help it. They say, I've got to get to Jesus. They say, you didn't do it right. I'm telling you, there's no wrong way to do it if you just come to Jesus just like you are and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Amen.
We think we got it all figured out. She told us, gum barrel straight. She said, did you not hear my heart beating like a jungle drum? I remember my heart beat like a jungle drum. Old timers used to call it the miseries or something like that. How many people get the miseries? I mean, they know, boy. They know it wasn't right with them. They know it wasn't well with their soul.
Amen.
And they got concerned about what is going to spend eternity.
Yeah.
They got to show it up. And they showed up for one purpose. They wanted to hear about this grace, this salvation that God gave through His Son, Jesus. But listen, there's joy when a sinner repents. He was willing to go through all of that for the joy. The joy of seeing a sinner step out and saying, still time for one more? Still time for me? You got room up there for me? Can I get on board? Can I get in? Can I get my name in that book? Is there enough blood for me? Though millions have come, there's still room for. There's room at the cross for you. I'll tell you what, I'm glad there's room for me. Can you imagine if that last one got saved and the joy is cut off and the door is closed? No more. You've been somewhere and they said, sorry, we're turning people away. Well, there's no turning away with Him. He said, all that come to me. He said, I'll have no wise turn away, Carolyn. He said, you get them to me. I'll take it from there. I'll fix it, amen. I don't care how shipwrecked it is. I'll make it as new, amen. Oh, there's joy. It's His joy. It's that joy, Molly, that caused Him to stay up there and give His life for the sins of the world. That joy, amen. Bless you, Brother Billy. Someone like you could call Jesus even today to say it was worth it. The Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. Don't let nobody keep you from praising God. Listen, one worthy, only one, but He's worthy to receive the reward of His suffering. He's worthy, Brother William. Oh, Brother Eddie Hank, but He is. He's worthy to be crowned with joy and honor and glory. The world may not have no regard to Him. They may not have cared that at the age of 33, He gave His life up, as far as we know life down here, so that others could take a life up and have eternal life. He cut His short. David reigned in, I believe it was in Jerusalem, 33 years. I don't know if it's significant or not that Jesus lived 33 years. I'll just tell you one thing. At 33 years, 2014 years ago, on a hill called Golgotha, a hill called Calvary, for the joy that will sit before Him.
Amen.
He gave His life, Molly, for all. All. As many as would. He gave His life for them. What could I do, Brother Eddie? Well, I'll tell you what you could do. You could be the very one today to cause Jesus to say it was worth it. Or you could be the one today like in that crowd. Big deal. You could be the one like in that crowd. What time is it? Ain't there something that we could be doing? I'll tell you what time it is. It's time to seek Him while He may be found. It's time to call upon Him while He's near. It's time to run to Him before it's everlasting too late. God has no joy in the death of the wicked, but I'll promise you that there's going to be a day. Oh, Brother Eddie, you're getting that gloom and doom stuff again. All I can do is warn you. Jesus is the only one that can help you. But I'll tell you what, buddy. for that joy, He is willing to go through what He went through. Father, we've done our best to honor Your Son. And Lord, I'll be the first to say, and Lord, I ain't much for God to use, but I thank You for what You said here this morning, every word of it true. And I pray, Lord, it not be misconstrued. I pray someone, Lord, hear the message either here or some other way by internet or something. And I pray they'd realize how great a price You paid to get so little in return. And I pray they'd be that one. Maybe it's a little Caitlin or a little Skylin this morning and say, Lord Jesus, I want to bring a little joy to Your heart and come up here like a little vessel of honor and say, Lord, come in my heart, take Your rightful place upon the throne of my heart and help me to live all my days for honor and glory to You. Whoever, Lord, You put the finger on, I pray they'd be willing and obedient to the beckoning of God and the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, help us in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask everyone to stand, please. I don't know how God spoke to you this morning. You know, if God didn't speak to you, that's fine. But if God did speak to you, you need to do whatever God leads you to do. Maybe you just want to go hug somebody's neck and say, I'm just glad I'm saved, I'm glad you're saved, or whatever. I'll just tell you this morning, although I know how to tell you, I'm just a messenger boy. If God has spoken to you, please be obedient to whatever God leads you to do. Go ahead, Brother Mel.
I'm pressing on the upward way, the heights I've gained in every day.
He's getting to Jesus. I promise you this, He's trying to get to you. Oh yeah, He's waited all the day long for such a time as this, with hopes that you might turn to Him and say, Lord, thank You for loving me. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for waiting on me. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. If you got anything, to give Jesus by all means, make haste. Lord, thank You for Brother William. Thank You, Father. Lord, for not only, Lord, His stewardship and obedience, but Lord, thank You, Father, for His presence. Lord, what a blessing, Brother William. Bless Him, Father. Use Him, Lord, I pray. And may He come to know the Lord because of His blessing, Lord. Lord, I believe these folks' hearts this morning. I wish, Lord, they would obey You from their heart. I wish there'd be one this morning, their heart be like a jungle drum. They'd come running up here and say, Lord Jesus, I got to get to You. I got to talk to You. Help, Lord. Bless your soul, baby. That's what you got to do right there. Amen. I'm telling you, God gets joy in there. Bless your soul, baby. Lord, to be 100 up there. Woo! Glory! Bless your soul, baby. You got able to give them, girl. Amen. I have found more praise.
Oh,
saints over back there, hands up, lifting up, holding hands. Hey, I tell you what, I'm glad. I know who I lift up my hands to. I know why I lift them up. But I tell you what, he stretched his out and put a nail in them. Done that for me. You better believe I'm fanatic. You better believe it. I'm fanatical still, always will. Nobody never loved me like he loved me. Nobody ever done for me what he done for me. And God help us never to be silent. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Thank you, Brother Manny.
And he told me if my leg was cut, well, now it's down the bottom where my foot's been. He had tied off three little veins.
Yeah.
And he went out and come back in. He said, it's not your leg, it's your shoes. Said you weren't him. Nice shoes. Said you had.
Hurt him, yeah.
Get you a good pair of knickers.
Amen.
Get you some thick socks.
Yeah.
And he said, put on safety. I told my Holy Cruz, we got a school. And my lady, I can't afford that. You know what them things are.
Bless her.
She said, Toby, if I come as many times a night as you have,
bless her,
I'd spend the last penny I had.
Amen.
So we went out. I bought this truck. And that girl tried to help me.
They
felt so good. I just said, put my shoes on. And Molly ran about somewhere looking at something else. She never noticed it was Molly.
Yeah.
We got out in the parking lot. Molly said, well,
something,
where are you going? Are you going shopping?
Feel pretty good then.
Yeah. Mm. I'm a dying
whale. Amen. Bless you, Sophie. Amen.
And I think he's
got something for you. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're flyers.
So many times I thank you. Let me go on the home and
quit suffering. Amen. He will in his time. In his time, he'll call us home, one by one. Who else got a praise this morning? I appreciate Sophie. She don't get to come to church very much, and a lot of people don't understand, but when you don't get to come, you want to praise the Lord. Amen. When you hear. Anybody else got anything on your heart? I appreciate you bearing with me. I was a little long this morning. I'm not apologizing for being long, but I appreciate you bearing with me. Anybody else got anything on your heart this morning?
I praise the Lord this morning. I praise Him for Calvary. I praise Him for the cross. I praise Him for the blood.
Heaven.
I praise Him that the stone was raised, rolled away, and He risen to this day. He's alive.
Heaven.
Praise His holy name today.
Amen.
Well, yeah, I too want to thank the Lord for the resurrection. Because it's in the resurrection that we find hope.
Heaven.
Without the resurrection, there'd be no hope.
That's right.
I thank Him for that this morning. And I thought while you was preaching, all the suffering that He went through with, and there's a church in the county yesterday that left down at Columbia around the square carrying a cross. And they walked all the way to their church. They said it was 10 miles. And a number of them, you know, walked. They'd walk a little way, somebody pick them up, and they'd go on their way. Others walked,
yeah,
would start walking and so on. And I was talking to a person last night, and this person's wife had walked the entire 10 miles. But she was soaking her feet and moaning and groaning,
right,
and taking on about, you know, well, she ought to have more sense because she's not in shape. You take some of you ladies here today, she's not walking and built yourself up. I want to see you walk 10 miles, but she did it. And I don't know why they did this, you know. I think we're living in a time that a lot of people want to put on a show.
Right, you're right.
It's already been put on.
Yeah. Amen. We'll see there, brother. I like it. It's already been
greatest, greatest event that ever took place.
Well said there, preacher.
It was already been done.
Amen. Amen. I like
but
it.
I thought, you know, some of them walked half a mile or a mile and gave out.
Yeah.
And they were picked up and carried on home or went to the church and sat there and had refreshments. I'm not I'm considered an old critic about everything, you know, but I think what we do it for the glory of God.
Yeah.
Not to be seen.
Amen.
Men.
You're right.
So the Bible says.
Don't let your left hand know what your right hand
is. I'll try to be just real brief, but this is on my mind while you're preaching, and I thought of those that just went part of the way.
Yeah.
I'm glad Jesus didn't just go part of the way.
Went all the way.
But he went all the way. And when we say he did it for the world, I'm not looking at the world today. He did it for me.
Right. That's right.
And he did it for each of us. So that included the world.
Everyone.
But we need to think about this. Not that he did it for everybody, all the other people. But he did it for us.
Yeah.
And I'm unworthy of it. But he did it for me.
Brother Vernon.
I love him and praise him.
He just brought out a tremendous truth there. And I hadn't really thought about this a whole lot. But what he just said there, I want to kind of expound upon what you just said. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus done what he done for his father. But his father loved the world so much he gave his son for the world. The Bible said Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. But I tell you what, it was love that was a motivation. God loved the world, gave his son for the sins of the world. Jesus loved his father, gave himself into the hands of the father, like Isaac did his father Abraham, and became the Lamb of God to sacrifice for the sins of the world, to be in obedience to his father is why he done it. I appreciate what's been said.
You know, Brother Eddie, one thing, I'm not saying that what those people did was not, there's anything wrong with it. If one person passed by on the highway and saw this person carrying the cross, and these people walking, in commemoration of this great event, if that just caused one lost person,
even to think about it,
I don't think it's worth it all. But you know, let's do what we do for His glory, not to be seen of men, but that He can be exalted and for the edification of the church, and for the glory of God. I just want to say that I'm not saying they were wrong in doing what they did. But I just hope that it was all done for the right purpose. I believe if I'd been walking, after I'd walked 4 or 5 miles, they said there was blisters on her feet, the bottom of her feet, up in between her toes.
Wow.
Now, I believe that if I'd been suffering that much, for what they were doing it for, I believe I'd have got on a truck and rode on to the church.
I got some new shoes like Sophie has, what I've done.
I don't understand a lot of things that goes on today.
Yeah.
And Jesus said there'd be some people in the day when they stand before him, they'd say, Lord, have we not done all these great mighty things?
Yeah.
I walked 10 miles, wore blisters on the bottom of my feet.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I was hungry one day.
Yeah.
I was thirsty.
Right. In prison.
I was in prison one day and I lay over in the hospital bed one time.
Right.
None of you ministered to me.
Amen. Well made point.
I'll try to hush, but.
Amen. Who else got a word this morning? Anybody? All right. Let's all stand.
I just say something.
What you got?
My brother and I were talking, and he said, you know, sometimes there's a bad tree, but it could bring forth good fruit. And I thought, well, how can this be? He said, there's people that goes out there and show and do is not real.
Mm-hmm.
He said that the tree is not good.
Yeah, that's what Jesus said about the Pharisees.
I've heard the old saying that apple is what? Rotten to the core?
Yeah.
The tree is rotten to the stump.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesus, I read that this morning about what he said about the Pharisees. He said, they say and do not. And what they do for the praise of men.
But he said, you know, there's so many people that's going forward.
Yeah.
Saying they are and showing things it's not right.
Amen. Now, everything this morning has been excellent. And I think there's one more thing, and I want to get some clarification on this. Have we got some eggs hid outside? We got some eggs to be found. We don't have a lot of young people here, but that'll make it pretty fire. And we got little Skylin and little Caitlin, and we're glad to have them. We appreciate Sharon and Billy. I know that wasn't easy. That was a tremendous undertaking, but they did it. I'm so glad they did. I commend them for it. Now, you and I, we think it wasn't no big deal. They don't feel good. And I know Billy probably doesn't even feel like even being here, but I sure appreciate the effort they put forth to get them precious two little girls here. And we're going to be dismissed, and we're going to have a Easter egg hunt out there. And I'll get Brother Melvin to dismiss us word of prayer, and then we'll go right straight on back here and have an Easter egg hunt.
Thank you, Lord, for each one here today, and for your presence, and Lord, for your
Yes, sir.